This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is the car show here on BFM, and according to some people, the only car review show in the ASEAN region, from what I understand. Is that correct?
Not some people, it's me.
It's according to you. That, of course, was Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Selamat petang.
And also in the studio, as ever, it is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse.
Hello, Richard.
How are you?
All right, how are you?
I'm good. Right, so as usual, the show is split into two parts. At the top of the show, we've got news and launches, and then a little bit later on, we have a feature. It is the Audi A5 Sportback.
Yep,
right?
Yep.
Just making sure I've got all these terms correct.
Right.
So first, of course, up first with the news, it is Mr. Arif Ruse.
Yeah, so the first piece of news actually is, you know, the PSV license that every Grab driver has been panicking about. It's the public service vehicle license, so any e-hailing driver will have to pay 800 ringgit to qualify as
a public service driver,
yeah. So the Transport Ministry, almost exactly a year ago, set a 12 July deadline. And of some 167,000 ride-hailing drivers, only 16,000 signed up.
You know what? Colour me surprised.
Why?
Not.
Okay, yeah.
Not at all.
I think because the 16,000 that subscribe to this are actually full-time drivers.
I agree.
Yeah. And the rest are just people like you and me who want to earn a little bit more money, and they're doing it part-time.
Yeah.
I just want to interject here and just share something. 2 days ago, I was in Glenmary visiting a client's office, and I thought I'll just go and visit another client nearby. The distance was 3.2 kilometers within Glenmary.
Yeah.
And they wanted 18 ringgit.
I can top that, Daniel.
Right.
Coming from Bangsar to TTDI, how far do we think that is? Roughly?
That's exactly 7.1
kilometers. 7.1
kilometers.
31 ringgit.
Wow.
It cost me this morning.
Okay, but I have to go on Grab side on this because you're an expat.
How did...
You earn more money than Malaysians.
With that being said, though...
and we have the lowest fares in the region.
With that being said, their nearest competitor was literally half the price. Why would I pick... We're going to get on a rant again, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah,
would I pick a more expensive service which offers me the exact same service for double the price?
Right.
I wouldn't. Anybody in their right mind would not spend double the price.
So, Richard, tell us what's happening here. Why are they able to charge so much and get away with it?
I'll tell you another secret. The prices are going up at the end of this month
Of course.
Yep. As much as 50%, apparently.
Yes.
But they've actually gone and put a cap on it. So.
Well, they're saying it's to help the drivers out,
aren't they? Yeah. Well, according to the Malaysian E-Hailing Drivers Association, you know, those 16,000 that signed up, only 10,000 passed. But, which means that 10%...
Wait, what? So, 1,600 of them?
No. So, 10% of 167,000 ride-hailing drivers in Malaysia have passed.
Okay.
But in this remaining months of the year, they're expecting that number to go from 10% to 70%. So... That's going to be a bit hard.
Yeah.
And this whole PSV license thing could actually, like you said, affect the search prices especially, and could eventually result in your
Richard riding to work on a bicycle.
You know, I'm glad you said that because I'm planning to buy a scooter.
You know what? I've been looking at those. They've been on my Instagram feed recently.
Right.
Those little electric scooters.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we should get scooters.
I think we should do that.
Yes.
Get down to the MRT on the scooter.
Right.
Fold it. Take the MRT.
Right.
Unfold it to work. Yeah.
Do a little bit of exercise.
Take that. Should be called apps.
We should be called Scooter Control now.
Scoot Control here. No, I mean, I am salty about this. You know, and it's not our fault that these drivers have decided that they don't want to sign up. It's not our fault that other people have problems with their licensing and whatever. Mm-hmm. We are the consumer, you know, and the only way you can fight back against something like this and a 50% surcharge or whatever it is not to use a service.
Yep.
Anyway.
With that, we should move on to fake noise for cars in the EU.
I like this.
You're copying my story, aren't you?
Yeah, this actually came from Richard, and we'll hear some clips that were very similar to Richard's Enterprise Biz Bytes segment. But
every day at noon o'clock. At noon o'clock.
Noon o'clock.
Noon o'clock.
Noon o'clock.
Yeah, noon o'clock.
And you carry a British passport.
I carry. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. You know, everybody's talking about electric cars and how they'd be so silent and all that stuff. So the EU has officially recognized that it is dangerous to pedestrians. walking on the street. So they passed a bill which says that every electric vehicle and hybrid must include something called an acoustic vehicle alert system by 2021, which is basically speakers outside of the car.
Correct. But they've already had this for years.
Yeah, yeah. This system actually only generates noises under 20 kilometers an hour.
Right.
Interesting fact, actually. Why under 20 kilometers an hour?
Because you could be reversing. You could be in a residential area where there are school children.
Perhaps. Yes, yes, yes. But I was leaning towards a more scientific fact.
Oh.
Oh, scientific.
Scientific.
Kids, kids are trying to sneak their parents' car out.
The Doppler effect, perhaps?
Around about 20 to 30 kilometers an hour, that's when the sound of the tires takes over the sound of the engine in a car.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So,
well, aren't you a smarty pants?
Yes, he is.
But anyway, as mentioned, it only operates under 20 kilometers an hour. So you can only hear it from the outside under 20 kilometers an hour. It disappears as you get quicker, obviously. And if you're curious, this is what an Audi e-tron sounds like from the outside.
I kind of like it.
Sounds like a spaceship.
Yeah.
I actually thought I was in Jurassic Park.
I think it is going to warn pedestrians.
Yeah,
it is
for sure.
Work. But,
I think more of a case of what on earth is that? Yeah. You know, as opposed to, oh, look, it's an Audi.
Everybody's going to turn around and think they've been transported into 3005.
Right, right.
But, you know, there'll be no more engine sounds. And so what's the driver going to listen to? Well, here's the Jaguar I-Pace.
It sounded like the Death Star getting started up to blast Earth.
It sounds like something from Tron.
Yes,
right?
You're right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised at how much bass they put into.
So I don't know which one it is, but one of the vehicles takes music to create a harmonious sound, apparently. They're basically saying that they're trying to make the car sound musical.
Wow.
And the reason that they do that, of course, is that it's easier for the human ear to recognize the, I don't want to say the sound of music, but that's what it is, you know. And I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
But it also had me thinking that perhaps in the future there are going to be people who are going to want to use their own sounds on vehicles.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I mean, actually, a quick search on YouTube, actually, you'll find a bunch of Teslas rolling around with V8 engines.
Right, right, right. Yeah. So, you know, it got me thinking there's going to be K-pop rolling down the street. There's going to be right. the sound from Dukes of Hazzard rolling.
Or sounds from, you know, things coming out of your body.
Yes, that too. And that's kind of, I don't see that as a problem, but the reason that we listen to certain vehicles, we like the sound of them. You like the sound of a V8. You know, you can identify what a V8 sounds like. But if you've got...
You like the whiny sound of an old mini miner.
Or whatever, you can identify it straight away. Whereas if you're putting your own sounds on it, you don't know what's coming down the street.
And so. You don't want to be walking on the street and then somebody decides to shock you with...
Right.
A really
bad song.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have enough of that right now. Yeah. People playing it on their cell phones.
Right.
Let us know what you think on Instagram at BFM Cruise Control. We're going to find out whether you guys will enjoy these sounds in the future. It is the sounds of the future anyway.
Yes, it is.
Moving on to the nearer future, let's talk about cars.
Yes, have some of that, yes.
Yep. So the first launch of last week actually was the Mazda 3.
Actually, I have to correct you. It wasn't even a launch. They just brought the car in, put it in the showrooms, called a whole bunch of media and said, listen, you got 1 hour to rush over to the showrooms, take a quick peek, take some pictures, and see whether you can give us some traffic. And that's what happened.
What?
It wasn't a launch.
So it wasn't even a gamut or anything?
Nothing. They just said, you know, Saturday from 10 to 11, come here, show us what you can do. And it's a great marketing theme.
Of course it is. Yeah.
You put that time span. Actually, the car has been there the whole time, open for Joe Public to just walk in, have a look-see and do a booking. But they just wanted to create a little bit of hype. So they sent out this message and everybody bought into it.
Mm. They launched three models, I believe. Yep. Starts at 140,000 ringgit and tops out at 160,000 ringgit. Any first thoughts on the car? It is definitely a more premium Japanese car, isn't it?
That's the thing. I think Mazda has moved the goalposts up. You know, like Toyota has Lexus, Nissan has Infiniti, Honda has Acura. It's all the big Japanese brands have a premium brand to push the market up against the Europeans.
Yeah.
Mazda does not have. For Mazda, I think what they've done is to say, listen, we don't want to sit below the Europeans. We don't want to sit with the rest of our Japanese siblings. Let's move our game up. And that's what they've done it. With the Mazda 2, we saw a little bit of improvements against the competition. With the Mazda 3, the previous one, we saw it and was impressed. Mazda 6, whoa, it really pushed the game up. And then now, if you see the CX-9 and the CX-5, they're already touching the base model of the European brands.
Yeah.
So with this car, bang, I hit you right in your segment. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Nice turn of phrase. Yeah. Nice turn of phrase.
The new Mazda 3 that's going to be here soon.
Yes.
Won't come with the Skyactiv X engine, the special one. Instead, you get a last generation Skyactiv G engine. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. It's still pretty economical and pretty fun. So the base model, you get the 1.5 liter engine, manual seats, and it's really basic. Then you go all the way to the high spec, 160,000 ringgit. You have the 2 liter engine and you have a choice of either the hatchback or the sedan. And you get everything, including 10-way power seats for the driver.
The 1 hour that I was at the showroom, every potential customer was looking at the high spec. I think the high spec will just sell out 90% of the model range.
Yeah.
There might be just a few people who will say, okay, no, I can't pay that extra 20,000 ringgit, so I'll go for the low spec. But when you take a 7-year loan or a 9-year loan, that's very little money in this segment, you know?
Yeah.
And you might as well take the high spec and get all the goodies.
Moving on, we have another car in a sort of similar price range, but different segment. Right. It's the BorgWarner BX5. Mm. It's a German brand which retired a long time ago, but it's been brought back by the Chinese.
By a Chinese owner.
And I feel like it sits two ranks below premium. So below Volvo, but above your Toyotas and all that stuff.
Well, that's what they're hoping to portray.
Yeah.
The problem is...
You sound skeptical, Daniel.
I sound skeptical because the car looks really good. The touch and feel points are all very nice. But again, this car was not launched to the media. They brought it and showcased it in Juru to the public. And starting today, right up to Sunday, they're doing the same thing in Seremban at a mall.
Huh? The first one?
Yes.
In Juru, where was it?
Juru.
Was that in the mall as well?
No, it was just in the automotive area in Juru where all the car showrooms are.
Do we know who owns the mall out of interest?
The mall is an open mall.
Right. Are the developers perhaps from China?
No. The brand owners in Malaysia are the same people who do Haval. Now, Haval is a brand of Great Wall. They are the number one SUV manufacturer in China. But in Malaysia, Haval sold about 4,000 odd vehicles the last year. Geely sold 20,000 because of the X70. So I'm sure they want to make sure BorgWarner gets that market share. You know?
Yeah.
But BorgWarner is not a big name. The engines, from what I know, come from Stuttgart. The body, electronics, everything... designed in Germany by Germans, but given to China to produce and put together. So it's a little bit of a mishmash here. But the fact that the engines come from Stuttgart doesn't mean it comes from Mercedes-Benz. But I was talking to someone who had personal information about this car, and they said the engine looks very similar to what Audi does.
Mm.
Could be wrong, but that's what he tells me.
Well, the engines is going to come here in two forms. There's a base model with a 1.4 liter four-cylinder with 150 horsepower.
Okay.
That's at 120,000 ringgit.
Right.
And spend a little bit more, maybe 10 grand or something like that, you get basically the same stuff, but with an added body kit. Right. But if you go to the top spec, 150,000 ringgit, 2-liter four-cylinder with 225 horsepower, which isn't too bad. You get a power tailgate and 8-year unlimited mileage warranty, which is... wow.
That's pretty special.
Yes, only Haval gives that in Malaysia. So I'm thinking now, 8-year warranty, not coming from the manufacturer, the local company is gambling on the extra 3 years.
Yeah.
Which is very, very risque because you got a lot of things that can go not wrong, but just wear out and you got to pay for all this. So I would actually like to look at that warranty certificate.
I'm guessing they're gambling on their market share increasing over the next few years, aren't they?
True, but these prices are very reasonable.
Yeah.
So your margin is not great unless you're fiddling with the taxes, but you can't do that now with the new government.
Cannot.
Yes. No.
So I have a very strong feeling that there is something else that we don't know. So I want to look at that warranty cert. Maybe there's some limitations to that 8-year warranty. You cannot be giving a 100% coverage.
They added on a 5-year free labor and service as well, which is like, wow.
And 2 years of petrol.
What?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes. It's all in the
2 years of free petrol.
I mean, they took an average amount.
Right.
But still, 2 years of free petrol.
Insane.
This is crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm actually waiting for the official launch,
right?
Where we can meet the bosses,
right?
And
hope- say, how are you going to make money on this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That would be my question. Yeah. Okay. Do we want any other launches? Do you want to go through the Mini and the Mercedes and the BMWs, or should we skip those and save them for another day?
I think we'll skip those because we're out of time.
Oh, yes, that's unfortunate. All thanks to Borgward.
Borgward.
the BX5. Right, we're going to take a short break, ladies and gents. When we come back, we have a little chat coming up all about the Audi A5 Sportback here on Cruise Control on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with...
Daniel Fernandez.
Daniel Sherman Fernandez.
Thank you.
From DSF.my, of course. Over there in the other corner is Mr. Arif Ruse, the man with the news. Say hello.
Hello.
If you've only just joined us, we had a bit of a tussle about the PSV license.
Yep.
How 167,000 ride-hailing drivers, only 16,000 have signed up, apparently. We then spoke a little bit about Zoom. The fake noises that will have to come into effect for cars in the EU from 2021. And then, of course, we had some local car launches. But with all that said, it's time to talk about something from Germany, the Audi A5 Sportback. Daniel, please take it away.
Audi. Sad, sad, sad story in Malaysia.
Oh.
It's not been doing very well. And the reasons have been plenty. Their numbers went from, you know, a few years ago, 4,000 down to 3,000 down to 2,000. Then they're barely hitting 1,000. But globally, they're doing so well. So what's the problem? What's the reason? Is it market share? Is it market knowledge? Is it after sales? Is it product differentiation? Is it product pricing? A lot of reasons. Dealers have been very sketchy about what's going on. When you talk to Audi Malaysia, there is no longer an office, so you can't talk to them. They closed office about a year plus ago. So now it's taken over by the Singapore office. So all this has been a little bit down, you know, a bit depressing. But then suddenly a few months ago, rebirth of Audi in Malaysia. Singapore is, but they now take an active interest. The local dealers have now been given a new range of vehicles to sell. They've got the Q8, which we talked about some months ago. When I took it into the jungle, you saw the pictures. The Q7 has been revised. The Q5 is coming. The Q3, they're all here. Plus now they've got a range of sedans, starting from the A4, A5 Sportback, which you're talking about today, A7 and A8. So the range is in, all fully imported. So the prices are not cheap. So they offered the cars to test out. We said, we wanted to start with your basic A5 Sportback. So what's an A5 Sportback? Basically, it's an A4 with a lift back rear. So you've got more like an SUV kind of rear, you know,
got it.
Bigger space and all that.
Supposed to be a bit more sporty, a bit more lifestyle,
true,
I guess.
True. It's like the BMW 6GT.
Can he stick his golf clubs in it?
Of course.
Yes,
of course,
it can.
Of course. A lot of space.
Of course, you've already done your research already.
Yeah,
of course, of course.
So, I mean, if you're talking about competitor, it sits right against the BMW 6GT in terms of look.
Right.
But it's not, because the 6GT is one class above. So its real competitors is actually the C-Class Mercedes-Benz and the BMW 3 Series. When you look at the car, first off, you don't really realize that this is a brand new car.
It still looks like the old one.
Yes. But when you put it side by side with the old one, then you notice that everything has been changed. There are a lot of new design features that actually are quite exciting, but you know, you got to see the car in the flesh. Pictures are great, but you know, they're not as good as what you think it is. Get inside the car and it's everything from the Audi A4, which is not short of talent.
Mm.
Soft touch materials, high quality leather, build quality superb, linings, everything great. I would say convenience features, everything is there. There's nothing that has been taken out or forgotten when it comes to this car. Virtual cockpit, you know, the virtual cockpit is a great feature to have. It's what all the new high-tech cars are having, right up to the Porsche Panamera. But of course, you know, this is all part of the Volkswagen Group family. So across the range, all their cars have this. But in certain countries, you can take it as an option. So for Malaysia, they've taken all this in. I'll explain the price all later. But what really set this car apart from its competitors was the one fact. It's a quattro.
Mm. All-wheel drive.
All-wheel drive. This is what Audi is famous for, quattro.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, oh, why do I need four-wheel drive car? It should be rear-wheel drive, or, you know, front-wheel drive is good enough. Yes, I'm a person who likes rear-wheel drive cars. But you give me a front-wheel drive car, I will not say no. But, you know, after driving so many of these test cars around, and then I suddenly get into a quattro, not that large, quite nimble, with a 2-litre TFSI engine, 252 brake horsepower, I actually started enjoying the handling.
You feel safe and so planted everywhere.
I wouldn't use the word safe because, you know, I like to test airbags. But, you know, I would say I feel more daring to go around certain corners. Suddenly, my attitude in the car, I grow a few horns, you know, and I think...
Is that why all Audi drivers are, you know...
Wait, coming from a BMW driver, hey, really?
That stereotype was gone 10 years ago, Richard. You got to update it, man.
Right.
Well, I'm going to say this. When you drive an Audi Quattro like this, you don't need to use your brakes around corners. You just point, look, attack, and execute.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a PSA. Make sure you use your brakes going around corners.
Please.
Brakes are expensive to replace. Stop using your brakes in an Audi Quattro. Just drive it and drive it like you want to enjoy it. I'm not saying go very fast, but while everybody else is executing their brakes, you can just sweep around the corner without executing your brakes and watch on your rearview mirror the guy at the back going, "Oi, you didn't use your brake." You know? And if he tries to mimic you, he's going to go into longkang. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's a fun car to drive if you know how to play with it. It's no point buying an Audi Quattro if you're just going to go to the supermarket.
Right.
Number two, I like the space in the rear. There's a lot of legroom. It's got enough legroom to be an executive car. Number three, the boot space is great. You can put a folding bike in there. You can put a couple of golf bags, luggage bags. You can put two big bags at the back, ample space. That's great. Looks-wise, it's subjective. I like the sport back look. Some people don't like the sport back look. They like to prefer a sedan or straight away into an SUV. But I like the sport back look because I'm not a big fan of SUVs. So I took the car out. I enjoyed it. I sent it back. And then I thought to myself, this car cost 339,000 ringgit. A lot of people sort of say, oh, so expensive. Okay.
Just for comparison's sake, I think the CBU 3 Series is 330.
328,000.
328. And then the most expensive C-Class around that price range is...
304. But the most expensive C-Class is local assembled.
C43.
Yes. No, not the C43. No. The C300.
C300, okay.
Yeah.
Even I know that, Arif. Come on.
Sorry.
don't go into AMG status yet, okay? Because that's all in different class. So if you do a right comparison, you got 304 for the Mercedes, 328 for the BMW 3 Series, and 339 for the Audi A4 Quattro. Sorry, Audi A5 Quattro. But this is the only car that is four-wheel drive. And if you compare with the BMW, which is fully imported like the Audi, the price difference to get that Quattro is not that much.
Yep.
So either you're a hardcore BMW driver like Arif, or you're a hardcore Quattro driver like Richard.
Mm.
And you think to yourself, which suits your needs better? So I can see a lot of people who, looking at the 3 Series and having a little bit of problem with the high price and the lack of certain features which the previous 3 had, saying, oh, I pay a little bit more, I get this Quattro with all these features. But then there's another group of people who say, why should I pay more for Quattro when the BMW handling is spot on and I don't need that little additional safety features which really don't bother to me because I'm a BMW driver? So two schools of thought. The only thing is the Mercedes C-Class buyer now is like, nobody wants me.
I should say though, actually the new C300 is excellent value for money in itself because it's 304,000, undercutting everybody else.
Yes.
And it's packed with not really everything, but it's all the features that you want and need.
Exactly. More than enough features. But again, there's a little bit of stigma with some Malaysians, CBU against CKD. So now you've got a fully imported car or a full local assembled car. For now, I think there'll be some people who'll go and test drive this Audi A4 Quattro. Sorry, Audi A5 Quattro. I keep saying that again. Audi A5 Quattro. But again, they might say, you know, the Audi brand name. My neighbors will say, oh, you didn't make enough money, even though it's more expensive. You know, that stigma is still there. The stigma needs to be changed. How long? I don't know.
See, and this is what I don't understand. You know, back in the UK, Audi is seen as a vehicle that is aspirational. You know, it's not so, it's at that level of BMW.
In fact, it's above Mercedes.
Yeah. Now, does this come available in that red color?
Yes, it does.
It does, because that's how I see an Audi Quattro.
The test car was in gray, of course, but they do have it in red. They have it in all the colors because why? It's CBU.
Right.
And in fact, if you ask me what's wrong with the car, what am I not happy with the car, it's the fact that it had a drab black on grey interior. But like the GM told me, he said, listen, it's fully imported. If you come in and say, Mr. GM, I want a cappuccino interior with some titanium finish, we can do it for you. You just wait a little while. We'll get it ordered from the factory and we'll ship it in.
And it comes. There we go. Shall we do our little test?
Let's do it.
6-point inspection. Number one is, of course, who are its competitors? You already said the Mercedes
C-Class,
and the BMW 3 Series. So that's its competitors.
Yes.
See, I'm mumbling my way through.
Yes.
What does this car do better than its competition then?
The quattro all-wheel drive.
You see, I'm surprised you didn't say quattro in that kind of Italian accent.
Yeah, but it's not Italian, it's German.
I know, but you know, quattro... anyway. Yeah. Number three, what would you improve about it then?
I think if I'm already going to pay 340,000, a little bit more, I think try and squeeze in a nice, fancier interior color.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah,
you know? I would say, you know, dark brown with some gray stitching or, you know, a lighter beige with the black stitching. You know, because the moment you open your door, it's, you know,
so the outside is fine, the handling is fine, the virtual cockpit is fine, the stereo system is fine.
Fantabulous.
You just don't like the inside.
I just don't like the colors.
All right.
So, you know, the other Audis are marketed as way more premium than all the other BMWs and Mercs, right?
Right.
So does this feel more premium than a 3 Series or a C-Class?
To be honest, I don't see it. I don't feel it. I think they're all premium. I know the touch and feel points all feel almost the same. But there's just something about a CBU car when you get in and shut the door and you drive it for a while. Somehow or other, a CBU car tends to... I think it's psychological. Because, you know, if you didn't tell me it's CBU, I would say, okay. Yeah. You know, but I think it's psychological. And that psychological effect plays on the consumer. You know, the fact that it came from a factory in Germany. It was made by somebody that was related to Richard many years ago. And he put it together.
Yeah.
So that's very good, you know.
So, I mean, why would an A4 buyer get an A5?
An A4 buyer, I think, if he's already an A4 Quattro owner, he will not look at this car. Because the A4 Quattro is very accomplished. I've driven it a couple of years ago. This, I think, will go to someone who's never had an Audi before. Because if you've already had an Audi, you have your set models.
Yep.
Unless you're driving the old A5, which is about 6-7 years ago. But if you're not an Audi driver, you suddenly take this car for a test drive. And you say, my God, I can go around the corner without pressing the brakes. I want this car.
PSA, please use brakes on corners.
Yes.
Yeah. But final question. This or the new 3 Series or the C-Class?
For me, at this point, I like... not touching the brakes around corners. So
PSA, please use brakes on
corners. So I will go for this car. I'll try to squeeze the price down to the 3 Series price to justify the fact that I'm not paying a little bit too much.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. That was the featured Audi A5 Sportback review from Daniel Fernandez, of course, from DSF.my. This has been Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. If you've missed any part of the show, don't forget you can download the podcast. It's available via our app, which is available in all the usual places. And of course, we're on Spotify. We also have an Instagram page if you'd like to follow us on that. We are at
BFM Cruise Control.
We'll be back same time, same place next week here on BFM 89.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.